I'd like for you to turn your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. How many don't have any outstanding bills, but you're still looking for Jesus to come? A lot of Christians, they got big bills, and they wish Jesus comes so they wouldn't have to pay them. All righty. Just wonder if we had any like that this morning. Chapter number 2, and I want to read the first 12 verses, and I trust that God might give us something here this morning to be a help to our soul. Let's read here. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." I'm in chapter 3. That was a good verse. It said, "Finally." Preachers don't normally ever say "finally" unless they're about three verses or three points away. Have you never noticed that? And for my last point, and the last point has 4 points under it and 3 under each of those. Anyways, chapter 2, I'm sorry. And verse number 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much that we have this marvelous book we call the Bible. We thank you, O God, for your hand in it as you wrote it. We thank you for the privilege that we have to read it, to study it. And we thank you, O God, that we have the Holy Spirit of God to teach us. And so, Lord, this morning, we need you. We need the Spirit of God to move in our hearts, and we might be open to your leadership. Lord, we also know that what is said in this pulpit is sometimes not that which is said to the heart, and that your Spirit does marvelous things. And so we ask for that this morning. We pray for your moving, for your blessing, for your anointing. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When we look at the two books of Thessalonians, we are very often confronted with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds really good. That the trumpet might sound, the dead in Christ rise first, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, as we stop and think about the coming of Christ, we also need to understand something, and that is, sometimes people get confused on this, but his coming is actually shown to us in the Word of God in two parts. The first part is the rapture, and that word rapture simply means to be taken up. The rapture where the saints are taken immediately into the presence of the Lord, that which we just quoted from 1 Thessalonians 4. Then there's also the revelation, and that's where all the world sees him. And when he comes in the clouds and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, the entire world doesn't see him. But when he comes back to this earth, they will see him. And so I call that the revelation. The rapture is his coming in the clouds to gather his people. The revelation is his coming to judge the world. In Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." That describes the coming of Christ in that second period. And as I think you and I come with him. And we find, of course, we study from the Word of God, there's a great battle at Armageddon. And the blood flows so deep that it comes up to the horse's bridle. And thousands, really millions of people die as a result of the judgment of God. Now, as we look here in chapter number 2, it seems like verse number 1 is referring to both comings. "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." And so it seems like he's referring to both of these. And in verse number 2, he gives to us what I would call an encouragement in the midst of opposing forces. Notice verse 2 once again, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, at the day, as the day of Christ is at hand." You and I, we have tremendous encouragement as we can look to him and know that God is taking care of things. We look around this world, we wonder, what is taking place? What is happening? A lot of folks say, are we ever going to get back to normal? I ask you this morning, what is normal? What is normal? Normality in this world is sinfulness. Escalating sinfulness. That's normality. Romans chapter 1 describes that. And that is what we are seeing today. But you and I, we ought not be bothered by that in the sense that we despair, for we have a marvelous Savior. It seems that verse number 1 refers to both comings, verse number 2 an encouragement, and of course in verse number 3, he is, I believe, trying to teach us something else. He says, "Don't let anybody, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." There's going to be some digression from faith. "And if the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And so he's saying to us, listen, don't be deceived and believe everything is going to be terrible, because we have one who's coming for us, going to take us into his presence. And so do not be one who falls away from the faith that they have. For it's by faith that you and I can overcome the world. As we continue in the text, we find that there is described for us here a man of sin. Sometimes we find it called the Antichrist. But we find in verse number 8, "The Lord will consume him." Notice verse number 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." When he comes, the devil's going to be destroyed. Thank God for that. But right now, we know something about the devil. We know something about this wicked one. We know that he is a great deceiver. He seeks to deceive people in this world. As a result of that deceit, we find that men reject the truth of God's word, and they do not get saved. If you notice verse number 10, what's it say? "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved." And so what's he seeking to do? Deceive people. Deception is a truth that is wrapped up in a lie. Let's consider, as you go back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 3, it's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve, as she listened to Satan, accepted his version of the truth, which, by the way, was partly true, but it was mixed with a lie. Yet it all sounded so good to her, and thus she was deceived. But let's notice something else, and it's what I want you to see today as you go into the next verse. It says, and, it's linking these two verses together, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Notice there, delusion. Delusion, I believe, is a little bit different than deceived or deceitfulness. Delusion is a false belief, as I saw described, resistant to confrontation with actual facts. Now, that's an interesting statement. Delusion is basically belief without rational thought. It is believing something even though it does not make sense whatsoever. Now, God's way is not that way. Remember what it says in Isaiah chapter 1? He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So it's not God's way for us to be deluded, but we do find that as a result, God does send a strong delusion. As a result of what? The deception of Satan and our believing it. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems a little strange that God would be the author of delusion. He's the one who sends that. You say, well, that cannot be. Well, that's exactly what it says. For this cause. Is that what's in your Bible? For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This reveals a truth about God. And that truth is, if you will not believe him, he will cause damnation to come to your soul. And that's why it says that they would not be saved. That's why it says in verse 12 that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You go back to the Old Testament and you find this story about Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel. They have made a league one with another, and they're going to go into battle with Syria. They call the prophets together, and all the prophets, they say, go ahead, God's going to bless it. Well, they think, we need to hear from somebody else. And so they call Micaiah, and he comes, and he prophesies. And his prophecy is not like the others. And so the other prophets, they rudely condemn him. They tell him he's a liar and all those things. And we find something interesting that is said. It says, there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now think about this a minute. What's happened is there's an explanation why some prophets were telling this and one prophet was telling the other. He said, there's one who came forth and he says, I will persuade them. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Isn't that interesting? God sends this and they have lying spirits in their mouth. He goes on and says, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Now, we're looking here in 2 Thessalonians. We're looking at a time that is no doubt describing the end times. We're looking at a time in our own lives where we look and we say, you know, it looks like that things could turn into a tribulation period very easily. If it doesn't, it's really a tremendous dress rehearsal. And so we're saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And yet in the midst of all of this, we find there are so many things that are going round about. And really, what is taking place is that so many are being deceived by the devil. They are believing that rather than God, and God says, I will give you a delusion. You will believe something, and you will not be able to make any sense out of it. You'll not be able to describe it whatsoever. My question this morning is, what can we learn from this in 2020? What can we learn from this? First of all, I would say, I think we need to trust God through all circumstances. And when we trust God through all circumstances, rather than delusion, God will give us understanding. See, what do you mean, preacher? Believe God and believe His Word rather than all the modern-day forecasters. And there's all kinds of them. And we find some who are in the religious realm who are forecasting, saying, tremendous revival is coming to America. I would to God they're right. But I doubt it. I would to God that was true. But I think we're on the verge of something else. We find that there are forecasters in the area. We've seen this in the area of health. We see it in the area of wealth. We see people who are making forecasts. Listen, we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him for our health. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean we don't use good sense. That doesn't mean we don't wash our hands. Matter of fact, read the Old Testament, and you find that God gives a whole lot of very good, useful health tips. He tells them things they should eat, things they should not eat. He tells them constantly how they need to be washing and so forth. But we trust Him for our health. Listen, I thank God for doctors. But I will tell you this. I know from 3.5 years ago and all that took place in my life, and I thank God for the doctors, but if it had not been for God, healing would not have come to this body. He's the one that must do it. And I thank the Lord there were doctors who understood that, and they praised God as a result. But we need to trust Him with our health. We need to trust Him with our wealth. Really, we do. You know, folks, they look at the stock market. They see it go up. They see it go down. They get all excited. It goes up, and they get all depressed when it goes down. Listen, what controls? What in the world is going to take care of you? Did not God promise that if we put Him first, that all these things would be added unto us? Trust Him for your health. Trust Him for your wealth. Trust Him. Now, use the word commonwealth. In other words, for your community. Trust Him for it. In other words, when He says give, give. When God says to go, go. When He says to assemble, assemble. When He says witness, witness. By the way, this has been really on my heart the last few weeks. I would love to see us reaching a bunch of kids once again. It doesn't happen, as we said, in our pews. It does not happen if we do not seek to reach them, and how we need that. And so I've been asking God to lay in our hearts in this area. But we need to trust Him through all of the circumstances, and God will give you understanding. If you do not, God will send you delusion. You say, does that mean Christians as well? Well, it's talking primarily about the lost, but I think the principle is there. And I think that when you and I won't trust God, won't believe what He says in His Word about all these different things, then we get deluded. And what a tragedy that is. I would say this morning, secondly, trust Him through your preaching the gospel. You say, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. So I don't stand behind a pulpit. No, you don't. But all preaching is not behind a pulpit. And I'm talking about a daily witness, talking to people about their need for Christ. You know, somehow we have been deluded into believing that men seldom get saved anymore. We've been deluded into believing that. Why? Because we were deceived by the devil. We believed what he said. We haven't witnessed, and thus God sent delusion. We are still to go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come and fill His house. Trust Him through the preaching of the gospel. Trust Him through all the circumstances, God will give you understanding. Trust Him through your preaching, through your testimony, through your witness, excuse me, of the gospel. Trust Him. You see the word we're using there? Trust. Trust. And thirdly, trust Him with your fear rather than the things of the world. Did you catch that? Trust Him with your fear rather than things of the world. We as God's people have gotten more fearful of the world than we have of God. We've been more fearful of what's taking place next as opposed to the working of God. And we need to reverse that. Trust Him with your fear. I've heard people say, are you supposed to be afraid of God? And so they said, no, you're supposed to have a reverential trust for Him. There be truth in that. But I'll tell you what, when I was growing up, I was scared of my daddy. My dad was never mean to me. I honestly cannot remember a time when he even raised his voice at me. I remember one time that he spanked me. It took me 20 years to figure out he was right, because I thought he was wrong. But I feared him. One day, my dad worked as the janitor. He was the chief custodian at Thomas Jefferson High School. And when I was all through my high school years, he was there at the school. And from time to time, I'd see him as I was passing down through the halls. I remember one time, I was in the back of the school. School was out. And I was walking along with a friend, and we were talking. And I do not remember what we were talking about, but I do remember saying a cuss word or two and looking up and seeing my daddy. My dad never said a thing then or afterwards, but I was scared to death. I had a fear of him. That fear caused me to go in certain directions. That fear helped me to understand to keep my mouth shut more and to clean up some speech. Trust him with your fear rather than things of the world. Listen, we fear so much that's going to take place around. We've seen it vividly in the last few months. And I'm not discounting fool and all those things. I'm just saying we need to trust God in the midst of these things. Trust Him with your fear and allow Him to take us through. Amen. I ended up, as you know, with COVID. And I don't know if I had it good or bad. I thought it was pretty light, tell you the truth. But this one thing I did before, I did not live in fear ahead of time. Had no idea what would happen. My wife and I are both in a situation physically that we are what would be called high risk. She's diabetic. I have heart problems. And we were high risk. We both end up with it. But we trust Him. And if I walk around in fear of all that's taking place in the world, I'm not going to get anything done. Brother Ziner a few weeks ago said it so well. He said our missionaries don't stay off the field because they're afraid of getting typhoid fever. They go in spite of it. And that's where we're at. Trust God. Amen. If we don't, I believe that verse there ought to speak to us. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. When that delusion comes, what happens? We believe all sorts of lies. All sorts of lies. Again, I believe it's primarily speaking to the lost, but application, I believe, can be made to us as saved. Believe God. Trust Him. Amen? Yeah. Trust Him through all the circumstances. If you watch very much news, they're going to tell you every day something you need to be scared of. And that's their business. News used to be they'd tell you some good things, but they've forgotten how to do that. And you need some good things from the Word of God. Amen? And allow Him to speak to you and to use you and to do what He wants to do. That you not be deluded. And that you might have strong understanding of what God is doing. Do you see what God's doing in our country? As a result of the unbelief, we have literally millions of people who are deluded. They believe what they believe and have absolutely no reason to believe it. And we can run the gamut with that in all sorts of areas. And you and I ought not be in that spot. Let's believe Him. Amen. Father, today, thank You. Thank You so much for the truth of the Word of God. And the fact that we can hold on to its truth. Lord, we know that in our day we are being attacked so horrendously by the devil and all of his lies, seeking to deceive us, and as a result, many have been deluded. You've sent that because they would not believe You. So, God, I pray that You might use us to reach them somehow. Somehow in the midst of that delusion, that they might have a few clear thoughts, we can talk to them about Jesus. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding in these areas. I pray, O God, that You help us to trust You. Just trust You. Bless and work in hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.